and welcome back to another episode of the Young Pyromancers podcast. I am your host, Ezra. Joining me today is my co-host, Charlie.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about the three-color commanders, the new three-color commanders from
Commander. And a couple others.
And two extra ones that we didn't cover in our first episode. We're also going to talk a bit about Kaldheim, the new upcoming set. And we've got some treasured finds for you today. But unless you have anything else, can we jump right in with our first commander?
Sure. What do you want to start us off?
Yeah, you can. Sure, I will read. Discman. Actually, why don't you read Discman as a fan of Disc?
I am a fan of Discs. That sounds like a good idea. Unfortunately, it's not in not in my colors, but
white colors. It's not. One color off the correct colors.
Yeah. Navinural, Urborg Tyrant, is 3, a white, a blue, and a black for a 3/6 legendary creature, zombie wizard. Hexproof from artifacts, creatures, and enchantments. When Navinural, Urborg Tyrant enters the battlefield, create a tapped 2/2 black zombie creature token for each creature that died this turn. And, best part, when Navinural dies, you may pay 1 colorless. When you do, destroy all artifacts, creatures, and enchantments.
Board wipe on a commander. I don't like having my board wiped, but Charlie likes wiping boards. So.
This seems so good. It just has so many words. It can't be bad, you know?
Hexproof from artifacts, creatures, and enchantments. That's already really good. But
create a tapped 2/2 black zombie creature token for each creature that died this turn. That's super powerful.
So it, like, If you activate the original Navinural's disc, which is the card, this is named, the creator of Navinural's disc. If you activate disc and then play Navinural, then you get a whole bunch of zombies. And then when Navinural dies, you can just basically get a Navinural's disc activation.
Yeah, I really like this. I also especially like this because it doesn't have a one-turn delay like the disc.
Right, Navinural's disc enters. Tapped, yeah, but
and you have to tap to
activate it with 7 mana, so you leave one open. Then no one wants to try to kill it, right? Because if they say like murder Navinreal, then you can pay 1 and then you wipe everyone's boards.
Wait, let me think.
I've also seen this built as a planeswalker and like a super friends deck. Because
that would work other than commanders.
I mean, other than planeswalkers.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't work with altars. Because you sacrifice, and then the death trigger goes onto the stack, and it resolves before you add the mana from the altar.
Oh, really?
Well, because you sacrifice part of the cost, and then death trigger goes onto the stack, and it would resolve first.
And it resolves first, right. Yeah, all right, that's, I mean,
very minor downside,
but yeah, Navinreal, pretty cool. Next is Obeka, Brute Canologist, I think it's right now the most built deck in Commander Legends. 1 blue, black, and a red for a legendary creature, Ogre Wizard, 3/4. Obeka is tapped. The person whose turn it is may end the turn, which means exile all spells and abilities from the stack. The creature whose turn it is discards down to their maximum hand size. Damage wears off, and this turn and end of turn effects end. Wow.
This is astonishing.
It's really good. There's so many effects that just become over the top.
Absolutely ridiculous.
When their end of turn triggers are not allowed to go off. Stuff like Final Fortune, which is more expensive now, but just a red and a red, take an extra turn, and then at the end of that turn, you lose the game. And then with the loot, you lose the game stack trigger on the stack, you activate Obeka, exiling it, which then means you don't lose the game. And then you can also do
Sneak Attack.
Sneak Attack. All these are more expensive things, but you've also got stuff like Void Walk, which exiles a creature and then returns it to the battlefield at the end step. So you can just exile stuff permanently, but also Cypher. So then every turn, basically, as long as you can reliably deal combat damage, you just get to exile something.
Yep. Flicker.
There's Hate Mirage.
Creatures effects.
Yeah, anything that flickers your opponent's creatures. There's, like, Hate Mirage makes two token copies of creatures your opponents control and then exiles them at the end step. But Obeka just lets you keep copies of them.
Okay, I have a question. I don't know if this works. Do you think that, Past and Flames works how I think it does? Because it's flashback until end of turn?
No, until end of turn effects end. So it's only, like, separate triggers.
Oh, yeah. No,
like, if it says exile it until end of turn, it wouldn't work. But if it says exile it and then return it on the end step, then you then it
would work. Actually, that's not even that good. I mean, Past and Flames is...
Just giving them permanent flashback.
Past and Flames is supposed to win immediately.
That's true. Yeah, Obeka. I'm sure you've heard other content creators talking about Obeka.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, moving on into Jund. This card just, like, is oozing Jundness in the art and the name and the card type.
Yeah. This was, like, I feel like more people, like, I'm sure people who have played longer than us have nostalgia from this card. Because we played... M10 was when Mana Boon was abolished. But I think when I first learned how to play from people, they still didn't know that rules changed. So I learned originally with Mana Boon. Like, I learned the game with Mana Boon.
I don't know that I had that experience.
Yeah, because I think maybe, I started playing, like, 2 years before you.
I don't know. Sometime a while. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, M10 was, so it was, like, 2009 when they got rid of Mana Boon, so... well before we started playing, but
yeah, this card is Yearlock of Scorch Thrash. So Jund. 1 black, red and a green for a 4/4 legendary creature, Vyashino Shaman, with vigilance, and a player losing unspent mana causes that player to lose that much life. And you can pay 1 and tap. Each player adds black, red, and a green.
It brings back Mana Boon.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
It brings back Mana Boon. And then you're going to play every single effect that, like, doubles everyone's mana. Like Heartbeat of Spring or whatever.
You know what seems really good with this?
Mm. Yeah.
Belby.
Oh. Because
they're going to lose life. I'm not using
it. Yeah, that's really good in Belby.
Yeah.
Well, no, sorry, not in Belby. Belby's really good in Yearlock. Yeah, I think Yearlock's cool, but... Yeah, I don't know how, like, actually powerful it'll be. And then you're just going to end up running a bunch of Punisher effects, and then everyone's just going to hate you forever.
Yeah, I feel like...
It has the Nekusaw effect, where everyone's taking tiny pips of damage and no one likes you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's tiny pips of damage are cool, but it's not as good as it is, as it could be, because, like, in Nekusaw, you have... You're drawing extra cards as well. You can prevent your opponents from drawing cards. They're losing life and having to... you know, hurt for drawing cards. Nekusaw just has that extra mile that makes it powerful. And I don't think this does.
Yeah. Alright, next up is another deck that people have been building. This is Jared Kothalian, True Heir. Jared is red, green, and white for legendary creature human warrior, 3/3. When Jared Kothalian, True Heir, enters the battlefield, target opponent becomes the monarch. You can't become the monarch this turn, and then if damage would be dealt to Jared Kothalian while you're the monarch, prevent that damage and put that many 1/1 counters on it. So, the issue that I've found with Jared is that you're not actually the monarch as much as you think you are. So, it also suffers from being removed too many times, because then every time it re-enters, you have to become the monarch again. But when you are the monarch, Jared does some crazy stuff, like fight spells, just being able to have an indestructible blocker, that sort of thing. I think Jared is very powerful as long as you're the monarch, so you need reliable ways to become the monarch.
Yeah, it feels like it just dies a lot to me, in my experience with it.
Yep. Alright, yeah, you can read our next one. This next one's powerful.
Oh, yeah. If it says dragon in the type line, I feel like it has to do something powerful.
We've had some pretty bad legendary dragons, but yes.
Powerful, although not good. How about that?
Is there a difference? Good is different than powerful. It's always going to do good things.
I mean, like you can pump things out 5/5 dragons, but it's still not good if your opponent is playing Nivinrael.
That's a good point.
Amareth the Lustrous is 3, a green, a white, and a blue for a 6/6 legendary creature dragon with flying. And whenever another permanent enters the battlefield under your control, look at the top card of your library. If it shares a card type with that permanent, you may reveal that card and put it into your hand.
That's nice. I mean, every time opponent enters, you get to look and see. I feel like this is going to end up being just a Bant lands deck. Sure. Every single play extra lands spell, but I mean, this could be built in any opponent type. You could build this as a planeswalker deck, you could build it as a creature deck, you could build it as an artifacts deck if you really wanted to, in a shaman deck too. And I think Amareth is just going to be a widely fallback good stuff ban. It's not going to unseat Ruin though. I still like
it's a pretty casual deck. I feel like it just like, sure, you get to draw some more cards,
right? It just quietly does good things.
Yeah, I think that's a really good analysis.
Unlike Rune, which makes everyone feel like they don't have enough cards, and then they kill me.
Other commanders that quietly do good things.
Not Muldrotha. Muldrotha makes everyone sack their boards and feel terrible, so yeah, that doesn't I make would quiet, say... do quiet things.
Hmm.
I don't know, commanders that will slowly allow you to build up attrition without anyone noticing, and then you can slam down a bunch of big beaters and swing for the game. I feel maybe like Krufix, it needs to not do horizons too much stuff. Yeah, Krufix can slowly just like build up some stuff. Yeah, whatever.
And then you slam an Eldrazi. Maybe Tatiova.
Tatiova. Yeah, a lot of these like dotally
Simic or Simic like
decks, but you also can't go too far in the case of my Rune deck where I exile everything with like my Yorion, and then I exile everything with a Lumbering Battlement, and then Charming Prince comes back, and then it exiles Yorion, and then everyone's just like, okay, yep, your board is wiped. But Amareth is just like quietly accruing value over time. I don't know how much I like those decks. I like being impactful, big and impactful, and do splashy things in my games. But I guess that's just
draw a bunch of cards, and then time comes, and you slam another massive dragon. It is a dragon.
You could build it as a
I feel like it'd be really good in the Ur-Dragon, or Scion of the Ur-Dragon.
Yeah, I'm sure this goes well into any five-color dragon deck.
Yeah.
All right, next up is Gen Arcanum Weaver. Gen is red, white, and black for a legendary creature human wizard, 2/3. You can pay Mardu colors, so red, white, and black, and tap to sacrifice an enchantment, and then you return enchantment target enchantment card from your graveyard to the battlefield. So for 3 mana, you can trade that font of whatever, basically like cheap expendable enchantment, and then you can trade that for Overwhelming Splendor, which is a curse that makes all your opponent's creatures just 1/1s that do nothing. Basically, you're trying to fill up your graveyard and then sack little unimpactful enchantments to get huge haymakers. I mean, the only thing that is like that interesting about Gen is the colors that it's in. Like, this effect would normally be in like Bant, right? But instead it's in Mardu, which is something that Mardu's never able to do. So yeah, getting back like a captive audience. So there are tons of great enchantments that you can put on
captive the audience. That would be quite something.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I think Gen is cool, but
it has potential.
It has potential if you build it well.
It could be too
slow. It's just one of those commanders that's a little bit too slow though. Like before, like it takes like 3 turns to actually get off the ground.
Yeah, it's not a green card, so it's harder to untap creatures.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I think it's fine, but it's not the worst. It's just all right.
It's cool art.
Yeah. Why don't you read? This one is cool, terrible.
Let's take a quick intermission here and
talk. Sorry about that. We're gonna do. Let's do New Horizons.
Yeah. Would you like to go ahead and tell us a little bit about Norse mythology?
Yeah, this is Kaldheim. This is the winter set. Kaldheim is, well, it's already existed in the Wizards universe in, like, just the plane chase. Anyways, this will be the sixth standard legal set. So it's a standard legal set. It's going to release on, in tabletop, which doesn't mean anything anymore. Let's be real, everyone's just looking for when this is on Arena. And it's going to be released onto Arena on January 28th, 2021.
Ugh, 2021. It still 2021. Feels like, you know, December 2019.
It seems so far away. It's only... it's only 18 days away. 2021's only 18 days away, but it still feels like a year away. And once again, Wizards has managed to do a terrible job at making sure people aren't leaking things.
Alas.
So, we've had five cards leaked, including one MDFC, one Legendary Squirrel, and an Oko. So, interesting lineup of leaked cards. We also know that the four remaining pathways are going to be in Kaldheim. So those are the Simic, Golgari, Azorius, and Rakdos, also known as the four best colors in Historic.
I wish
and Standard, for that matter.
I wish the viewers could see my heart rate spike when Ezra said Oko.
Yeah, but luckily, Charlie has read the Oko before. But the first time I saw it, I was like, no! No Oko. Bad Oko. And then I read it, and I'm like, oh, it's like a Planeswalker deck. But not. Alright, yeah. Anyways, let's start with our first card leak. Why don't you read Glimpse of Glory / Patch of Sacrifice? Oh, and so we should note, we don't support leaking cards. I like the thrill of spoiler season being actually spoilers, not like random dude on Reddit posted card leaks. And you don't actually know if they're true. However, these ones have been pretty accurate so far, and it seems to be one anonymous user on Reddit who's always doing the same thing. Same person who leaked the no set from Ikoria, I'm guessing. Obviously, they have to make a burner Reddit account to do that, but they've all been pretty accurate, so yeah, let's see. Why don't you read our first one?
Alright, I'm having a little bit of trouble right now getting to it, but I remember.
Okay, I'll read it then.
Yeah.
So this is an MDFC, so we're going to assume that the rules haven't changed, and that means you can cast either side that you want. The first side is Glimpse of Glory, which is a blue mana sorcery. Scry X, where X is the number of legendary permanents you control, draw a card. So if you have any legendary permanents, which is probably not that common in Standard, but will be in Commander, this is Opt at sorcery speed. Could be Preordain. Not too exciting. But the other side is Patch of Sacrifice, which is a 2-mana legendary artifact equipment. When Patch of Sacrifice enters the battlefield, choose an opponent. They play with their hand revealed for as long as Patch of Sacrifice remains on the battlefield.
Eh.
And then, equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has tap Scry 1, equip 2. So, you get to choose an opponent that has to always play with their hand revealed.
I like this less than playing just Telepathy or Opt.
Because now it feels like you're just targeting like one opponent. They just have to do this major feel bad that they can't hide anything.
Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, 2 mana for this effect, though.
It's not bad. In blue.
But, yeah, I don't know how impactful this will actually be. You want to read the squirrel?
Sure, this is, you know, speculation and spoiler, so, you know, if you don't want to hear it, be warned. It's cool, though. Skatharvosk, Root Gnar, is 1 and a Jund for a legendary creature, Elder Squirrel. Sacrifice a forest, you can untap Skatharvosk. It gains indestructible until end of turn. If that forest was a snow permanent, Scathervosk, and each snow creature you control gets +2/+2 until end of turn, and it's a 3/3.
Snow creature tribal plus land sacrificing. It seems really good. It seems really good. It can like really sacrificing your lands is not the best thing in the world, but,
+2/+2 to all your snow creatures.
Yeah, that could give you a huge boost to just put all your creatures over the edge. So, assuming they print good snow creatures, this could be a very good commander.
Yeah, well, there are already a few, but there could definitely be more.
And now we've got Oko, Thief of Crowns, 1 blue and a green. I'm kidding. No. Oko, Winter's Liege, 3 green and a blue, legendary creature Oko, +1. +1. You heard that right. It's only a +1. Create a 3/3 green elk snow creature token. So it makes elks. And it doesn't tone things into elks. -2, Scry X, where X is the number of snow permanents you control. Draw a card. Okay, so this is the ability that last time we saw Oko was +1, turning something into an elk. Yeah, it's just a scry and draw, so it's like a bat. It's like potentially an alright opt.
I was thinking, there's some planeswalkers, they tend to be like 5 or 6 mana. And my consensus is kind of like, they do stuff.
Basically, yeah, every single 5 mana and up commander in competitive formats is bad, with the exception of Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, but that's because he's only 3 mana.
Yeah, or if you're playing, I don't know, if you're playing Karn's good, I mean.
Well, I said 5 and up. Oh. 5 and up is like, well, I guess most cards that are 5, and, I mean, I don't know, Nissa's good.
Nissa's
mostly free. Nissa's basically free, though.
The 5 and 6 mana planeswalkers,
if they don't give you more mana, they're bad.
They tend to just, oh, hey, you get to draw a card. Oh, hey, I get an elk. I get a 3/3 beast. Oh, hey, maybe I can, you know, oh, hey, maybe it'll take me 7 more turns to, you know,
to actually get the ultimate. Oh, and I didn't even read the ultimate. Which is -7, gain control of up to X non-land permanents, where X is the number of snow permanents you control. Each of those permanents that are creatures gain haste. It's never going to get there. But, I was about to say this is disappointing. But judging that it's an Oko and it's not going to break every single format in creation, it's good.
Content.
All right, we can now move on to Treasured Find. My Treasured Find is Blight Beetle, which is 1 and a black for a creature insect protection from green, which means this creature can't be blocked, targeted, dealt damage, enchanted, or equipped by anything green. And creatures your opponents control can't have +1/+1 counters put on them. And it's a 1/1. So I've noticed that there is a big uptick in the amount of decks relying on +1/+1 counters for their strategies in order to win. So I think Blight Beetle in any deck could be a very good inclusion. And it having protection from green is also relevant to stop big green beaters, and it's basically an indestructible blocker for those green creatures. I think Blight Beetle at only 2 mana is just a cheap way to just dampen your opponent's strategies, and it's a good piece in any good deck that's trying to lock out your opponents and stop your opponents from winning.
Yeah, for 2 mana, it seems like a really, really strong kind of hate bear effect.
Yeah, it's 10 cents, and on EDH Rec, it's only played... Hang on, it's loading. But yeah, while that loads, you can... You do your turn.
I don't even know if I should talk about it anymore. Mine is Durable Handicraft. It's 1 and a green for an enchantment. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 1 colorless. If you do, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature. And then you can pay 5 and a green and sacrifice Durable Handicraft to put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. So Durable Handicraft's really good in counter decks, and there are commanders, specifically in Selesnya, that have to do with counters. And Abzan, of course, but this also is a part of some combos. some of which I'm very fond of. I don't know if I discovered it. I found on my own will, but I might not have been the first person to do that. Durable Handicraft and Animation Module. If you have infinite mana, it's like a loop, and you know there's stuff to do with that. It's just cool. It's a really cool card, and being able to repeatedly pay one and put a +1/+1 counter on a creature is a not necessarily the most
Effective, I mean, it's very good.
Definitely not one to underestimate, and something that can generate a lot of value throughout the game, especially with other payoffs.
Yeah, meanwhile, Blight Beetle completely shuts it down and makes it do nothing.
Yeah.
Blight Beetle is only Blight Beetle is only in 327 decks, so I think Blight Beetle at 10 cents is a very good budget pickup.
Oh yeah, that definitely seems like a very scary card. I can think of like all of my decks have something to do with counters.
What does Muldrotha have to do?
Muldrotha just has some cards that get counters. Okay. Somehow, some way, it's Sultai.
Yeah, but against like Anafenzo.
Yeah.
That would just be sad. Alright, yeah, why don't you read our next commander? Let's get back into it.
Yeah, we've got four left, it looks like. Yeah, so we're looking into Tamur. We have Averna, the Chaos Bloom, which is a Tamur, so a green, a blue, and a red. For a 4/2 legendary creature, Elemental Shaman, and it says, as you cascade, you may put a land card from among the exiled cards onto the battlefield tapped.
Yes, but no. There's not enough cascade cards that you can reliably trigger this. I'm just going to look up how many cards are in the team or color identity that have cascade.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably it seems like if you're doing a thing that's as strong as cascading, you want to be doing something a little more than rampant, or like maybe getting a land.
Yeah, I looked up Cascade. There are two cards that don't have Cascade, just have Cascade in their decks. Cascade's here in Skyland Cascade, but there are 21 spells, or 21 cards in the Teemer colors that Cascade. I feel like if there was like 40, then maybe you could build a Vona, but you need to do it cheaply for them to be
reliable. But they're not that good. And even so, just I feel like throwing a bunch of Cascade cards in a deck, there's commanders that will do a lot more than just getting you a few lands.
Yeah, I think Yidris is that's better.
Yidris is better. Maelstrom Wanderer, probably better. You know,
I mean, I think they both go in each other's decks, though.
Emoti is probably better.
Yeah, I think Emoti's better.
Yeah, it just feels like it's not doing... It just feels like it's a really high price to pay for not very much.
Yeah, I think if more cheap Cascades cards come out, though, then Avona could be good.
Yeah, it just seems implausible that that might even happen, though.
That's true. I mean, Cascade is a fairly limited mechanic. Yeah.
All right.
All right, our next commander is Kol'Fanor, the last U. Kol'Fanor, that's Y-E-W. 3 white, a black, and a green, so 3 in Abzan. For legendary creature, tree folk, shaman, 3/7, vigilance, reach, and when Kol'Fanor, the last U, or another creature you control dies, return up to one other creature card with lesser toughness to from your graveyard to your hand. So you could build this as like a big butts deck, like a high toughness commander, but I think really the way that people are building this is just as a you just take your zero mana your X creatures that are just an X, whether that be Ugin's Conjurant, Stonecoil Serpent, Walking Ballista, and then that just goes infinite as long as you have one other way to like trigger
with lesser toughness
LTBs. Yeah, it's because they, when they enter, you just need any way that can buff it and then sack outlet. So you run like a like any anthem and then a sack outlet.
Does that work?
So you just, yeah, because when it dies, the creatures in the graveyard are 0/0s, right?
But when it dies, it keeps its power and toughness.
Right, it checks its last power and toughness on the board.
Okay. I guess I didn't know that. Maybe I'd forgotten it.
Yeah, that's how death triggers work. They check power and toughness checks. They check the last known power toughness on the battlefield.
I'm going to think of other combos. I mean, maybe there's some really complicated thing with a whole bunch of mana and like Pitkeeper and another creature. Pitkeeper has an ETB. If you have four or more creature cards in your graveyard, you may return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand, and it's a 2-mana 2/1. But yeah, that definitely just seems better, what you said.
Yeah, you need to generate a lot of mana.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you just have an Ashnod's Altar, 2x X mana spells, and a Conjuring Anthem.
And an Anthem. An Anthem.
Yeah, you just need like Ugin's Conjuring and a Shield Wall. There's a lot. There's like 12. Alright, yeah, Kol'Fenor could be cool. I don't know. I'm excited to see how people would brew it, but it is a 6-mana commander, and at the end of the day, that's a damper on your deck. You really want your 6-mana commanders to do something insane.
Yeah.
Looking at Yumeldrotha.
It feels like
all right.
That's just going to do less than Yumeldrotha might.
Yeah, and then I'm going to take the liberty of reading this Jeskai commander so that you can read the Sultai commander. This next one is Nostro, Voice of the Crags. Nostro is one blue, a red, and a white, so one Jeskai for a 3/3 legendary creature Chimera. Nostro has tap, choose one. X is the number of spells you've cast this turn. Option 1, Scry X. Option 2, Nostro, Voice of the Crags deals X damage to target creature. Option 3, you gain X life. So as far as Storm Commanders, we've already gotten a great bunch this year. We have, this year and last, we had Elsha, is a great Storm Commander. We have Kaikar. No said. There's a lot of good Jeskai cards that all tend to do this thing. This specifically cares about the number of spells you cast this turn, which is neat. But the fact that none of these are particularly impactful
means none of that these actually.
If it could ping a player, then it would be a lot more impressive. But because none of these are very impactful,
None of these actually make you be. None of these immediately do something that makes it more likely that the game ends. I don't know how to say it, but it doesn't draw cards or deal damage to players, which is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. No, I just don't think Nostro is very impactful.
Yeah, so now we have, if you have nothing else to say, we have the Sultai Turtle.
Sultai Turtle.
Urkalos, Lagoon Mystic. Is one and a Sultai for a 2/4 legendary creature, Turtle Shaman. As long as Urkalos, Lagoon Mystic, is tapped, other permanents enter the battlefield tapped. As long as Urkalos is untapped, other permanents enter the battlefield untapped. Life is not a race.
Yeah, that's the flavor text. And then the flavor text of the hair is... Why so slow? Why so slow? Hurry up. You'll never know what you find. So yeah, they're mirroring each other. This is the tortoise and the hare. I think this definitely does do a very Sultai, like black-green-blue-ish, like slow down the game, I guess. You want it to be tapped to stacks out your opponent. Yeah. I've seen some cool Urkalos like vehicle brews.
Oh yeah.
Where you put Urkalos in the car so that it can be tapped and then slow down all your opponents. And also, if it's untapped, it's just a Amulet of Vigor for you. So, like your bounce lands are going to be very good. What other things does Amulet do in Modern? Doesn't it lead to a bunch of infinite combos?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, none of us are. Neither of us are Modern players, so I mean, Urkalos, it's just a good card. I mean, there's bound to be some loops that you can get into with stuff entering untapped.
Yeah, it's cool.
You could do like if you had like a. I don't know. That doesn't actually help. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Urkalos is just neat. I don't know if there's. It's not particularly exciting, and it doesn't give you direction to directly play into. I don't know, I just felt like these last four that we've talked about, in comparison to the Jared and the Yolok, have to just been like, they haven't really given you a direction to play in, which I think is nice. So if you can carve out your own deck that no one's made before, that's neat. But just from a overall standpoint, I think a lot of these three-color commanders have actually been less exciting than some of the uncommon two-color pairings. Because I feel like the most exciting commanders from all these solo ones, as we look back at the last two episodes, I mean, Orami is very exciting. So is Hamza. Felice is exciting. And you got Imodi too, pretty neat. But yeah, no, I think this is a definitely a great set for Commander. And
certainly,
as we take our Commander's set review to a close, let's just look back on all the Commanders from Commander Legends. And so, which ones are you personally excited to build around? Whether that be partners or the solo ones. Anything that immediately jumps out at you that you feel like you definitely want to build?
I gotta look at the list.
So yeah, I can talk about some of the decks that cards that I'm excited, commanders so far that I'm excited sure. to brew around and stuff. So I think Belby is a very cool deck and could be one that's very good on a budget. However, most of the good colorless payoffs are like Eldrazi's and Ugin's and Wurmcore Legends, so those are going to be expensive. I'm also putting myself on a quest to brew the most competitive, like not CEDH type thing, but the most, like I'm trying to create decks that are 5 to 7 on the power level with like $10 budgets or $15 budgets for all the color combinations. And so just jumping out at me, I've just seen around me and I'm thinking for this project that I'm thinking of doing, just going to build them and put them out there for you guys. But around me looks like a very good candidate for the Dimir deck that I'm brewing.
Yeah.
So whatever Dimir deck I end up making, I think it's going to be around me. Right. And in terms of blue-white, I think Kangi is very cool, and it's a very strong commander. But yeah, there's a bunch of just great cards in this set. Hamza, super fun. I think this set's going to be great for Commander, and yeah. I think however many criticisms you can make, it'll be a positive on the format.
Yeah, all right. I think I have a few cards. All right, so we have Sakashima of a Thousand Faces, Tevesh Sot, Rograk, Slurk, which I'm going to make a combo deck out of with Animation Module,
Indurable
Handcraft, and then Arami, of course, Hamza, probably Thalice, Belby, and then Nivinrol.
Imagine if Hamza had Potnor.
That would be absolutely outrageous.
It would be really good. Yeah, I mean, this set is great. Yeah.
I don't know how much more there is to be said about
that. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think is going to be the most powerful commander coming out of the set? Or commander pairing?
I don't know. There's too many pairings to think about that. I think that the most raw power in a commander... it's a tough question. The Prismatic Piper, probably.
Prismatic Piper. Actually, we didn't talk about Prismatic Piper, which is a 5-mana for legendary creature shapeshifter, 3/3. And if it's your commander, choose a color before the game begins. The Prismatic Piper is the chosen color. Maybe we did. I don't know.
I don't know. The Prismatic Piper is just so cool.
Yeah, Prismatic. I mean, it's a great idea for limited. I mean, the fact that it can just give you the commander, the color that you needed. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think this set is great. I don't know what to say. Arden and Rograk people have been building that as a Boros equipment and artifact, an aura deck. Yeah, no, I got nothing else. Anything else before we say goodbye to the listeners until later?
I don't think so. Oh.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks everyone for coming on, and we will see you next time. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, tell a friend. That would be the absolute best thing that you can do. Subscribe so that you get notified when our content is out. And yeah, we'll see you later. Thank you.